Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Father, we love you. We thank you, Father. We bless you, Lord. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your word. And thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our life. Thank you that you teach and reveal to us. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we speak a spirit of wisdom and revelation in his understanding in Christ Jesus, in what we have and what we are. Amen. Okay, we've been in a study series titled for a few months now, titled Saving Your Soul. Changing your way of thinking is what saving your soul means. Rescuing your soul from your old way of thinking. Practically, that's what it means. Now, today we're going to be seeing something very important that for me, according to my opinion, which is the correct one. If you understand this, you won't struggle to understand faith. People struggle to understand faith because they want to make faith their own. They confess the word of God so God can do something in their lives. They confess the word that God could move or to do something because God hasn't done anything according to them. But if you understand this, it's practically what we've been speaking for this entire series. This is part of your identity in Christ. You won't struggle then to confess the word. You won't struggle to understand why we say and do public confessions of the word of God. And not only will you not struggle, but it'll be born out of your heart. You won't need to be thinking if this is true, if this is a lie, because it's in the word. Now go with me to Ephesians. Ephesians 2, this is your identity. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. When you see when it says and you or him or he, don't ask, well, who is this talking about? It's the Lord Jesus. In him. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. You understand verse 2. It's important that you understand what you're reading, or when you read something, to understand it. The Lord Jesus said, he who reads, understand. You once conducted yourselves, this is in which you once walked according to the course of this world when we were children of the devil, when we were pagans. You have to see that the focus is on what you are here in your spirit. If you understand that, then the life of God will flow from the inside out. The majority of Christians, God bless them, this is to criticize, but it's an observation what I see. They have it backwards. For them, everything is the exterior. What can be seen. From their hairstyles to clothing, styles of clothing, things like that. To what you can only see. Instead of understanding, you, if you understand, you're understanding from the inside out. Not from the outside in. Which is why you have to change your way of thinking. You know that there are many people, Christians included, born again, who have an inferiority complex. And I believe there's another word that I'm looking for. You had told me, Joseph, right? the other time that we were talking about that. Oh, yeah, low self-esteem. And this is believers. But why do they have that? Well, Brother Hughes, if that person has perhaps a physical defect, the people make fun of them. Especially nowadays in schools. Very common to hear that. And no one denies that. But you have to understand, you and I cannot change the people. I told you last week when we were talking on that. You cannot demand respect nor acceptance from others. There's nothing in the Bible that speaks of that. The world has promoted that. The world promotes that a lot. The world promotes everything. Well, you have to accept me. If I'm of a certain ethnic group, you have to accept me. Because if you don't accept me, then they're racist. The issue is that Christians have fallen into that trap. But if you understand then who you are in Christ, and how much God loves you, and how much God sees you, to God, low self-esteem and complications like that don't matter. Because you start seeing yourself as how God sees you. So your faith will work better. I spent years on this, on teaching faith, and I've seen things. And again, I'm not going to criticize anyone. I'm going to be very careful of what I'm going to say, how I'm going to say it, because I don't want to sound critical towards anyone. I realized when I would go to preach to churches of faith that they would speak the word of faith. One of the characteristics is that they're very emotional. They declare something and say, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. And in the moment healing doesn't come, they become desperate and they become carnal. It's called being carnal, and carnality and faith don't go together. If something doesn't happen immediately in what they're believing for, they get discouraged, they are sad, they doubt the word of God. And in my opinion, it has a lot to do with not understanding who you are in Christ. If you have an identity, let's define. You can understand identity. You know that in English, identity card is your ID. Well, in the natural, if someone in authority asks for my identity, I'll bring out my ID of the state of Arizona, my driver's license. For the government, or for authorities in power, I am this that appears here on this identification card, this license. And we have to follow along with certain laws of man and people in government, as long as it doesn't violate what we believe. But for God, your ID, your identification is here in the Spirit. You cannot present yourself to God with your achievements if you're smart, or if you have a lot of money, if you're a businessman, if a successful businessman, or based on your height, or your eye colors, or your skin color. You can't present yourself towards God that way. So if certain minorities in the United States understood that, it would be because many of these minorities are so-called Christians. And we wouldn't have to put responsibility on anyone. Nor we would have to demand for the government to do something with my law, for that they have to help me. All of that is contrary to the word of God. Contrary. These are business of the kingdom. Now, if you want to lower everything to something in the natural, but that's, everyone will have their own political ideals, their affiliations. Let's stick with the spiritual, because many of the things that are spiritual, supposedly spiritual nowadays, is contrary to the word of God. If you understand who lives in you and understand the role of the Holy Spirit, in our midweek services, we're going to be touching on that. And again, many people have these strange ideas of the Holy Spirit. You know how I study? I study with this. I don't study videos. I don't watch anyone, although I am in Bible school. But it's basically the same thing that I've been taught for years. Nothing new as they. But apart from that, it's this. That's all I use to study. I don't use anything else. And everything that I speak and say and study is based on first the written word and my experience, everything that I lived and saw and went through and heard. When I traveled in this country, different denominations with churches, that's all based on what I speak. I don't speak it out of anyone specifically. It's conjoinment of everything. If you understand who you are in Christ, then you won't struggle. Your identity is here. Verse 3. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. This is of the world. But God, hallelujah. I know, but every single time I read this almost daily. I love the contrast between verse 1, 2, and 3 and how 4 starts. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, among even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Where did he give you life? In the Spirit. Here in your spirit, that's what you are. This is your identification here. Not in your skin color, not in your hair color, not in your ethnic group, not in what language you speak, and if you speak another language with an accent or something like that. Nothing to do with that when you come to God. If you understand this, you won't live being offended. It's because Brother Hughes, brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, they have to love me. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. But if brother or disobeys, what are you going to do? Hate them? Because they criticize you, you're also going to criticize them? Amen. Verse, what was this, 5? Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. That's your place of authority. That's who we are in the Spirit. If that person accepts me or loves me, good. If not, that's on them. My thought is not on who loves me and who accepts me. My thought is in who I am in Christ Jesus, so that I can love people. I can love people although they hate me. Or although someone criticizes me, I don't need to criticize them. Because I understand who I am in Christ. Do majority of Christians live that way? No, majority of Christians live being offended. And in anger and in wrath and criticizing the other, this and that and the other, talking like the world, speaking disgrace instead of speaking grace and faith. This is your identity in Christ. This is where you identify yourself. One more time, you do not identify yourself with Christ in the flesh. We couldn't. Are you Jew in your flesh? Perhaps Mr. Netanyahu could identify himself in the flesh with with the Lord Jesus. Perhaps he descends from the tribe of Judah, just as Jesus did. But you and I cannot identify ourselves in the flesh. It's not valid before the eyes of God. Where is my identification? The Spirit. And who I am in Christ. And if I understand who I am, then I can be able to say and speak and confess the word. And I won't become discouraged if I don't see immediate results. Oh, it'll change your life. I'm going to make a very strong declaration in this moment. But according to me, I believe I am the pastor to whom this side of Arizona has peace with. There is no pastor like Brother Hughes, who is in peace and tranquility, has nothing against anyone. I'm not fighting with that one of what does he have, what does the other, this church and that. There is no one in such peace. And you can ask my family. Because if someone knows a pastor or a preacher, you know who he is? After God, his wife. You know what? Do you want to know how he is? The wife, unless the wife wants to lie and cover it up. And then his children. But what I'm saying with this is that I've understood and I have more peace than years ago. Sometimes I would have, not always, in certain occasions, especially if everything was going right. And I was there speaking and declaring faith, but then I'd finish declarations of faith. And then that worry and that discouragement wanted to come again. That's the relationship. And apart from August of 2016 till now, I already had this working for many years. 2011 onwards. But in August 2016, it's as if someone stuck me inside of a cannon. Now, of course, it was going to be like a cartoon, but it was as if they put me inside of that cannon, and then that cannon shot and elevated me higher level. You know when that was? When Fred Price told me, a strong faith, Fred Price Sr., Dr. Frederick Price told me, Ignacio, remember this, son. August of 2016 in Palos Verdes, California, at his home. He told me, Ignacio, remember this. A strong faith is born out of a strong relationship with God. Do you know what I dedicated myself to? In August of 2016, to develop that relationship with God. To seek Him more, to understand Him more. When I understanding my God more, I started falling in love with Him more. And there isn't a single morning where I say, Father, good morning. That this is a day that the Lord has made. Normally, almost 50 years of age, I sleep like a rock. I don't feel the night sometimes. I'm not waking up in the middle of the night to go having to go use the restroom. I give all the glory to Him. But I don't remember what happened with my... The last time with my pillow, it moved towards the edge, so my head started following my pillow. And when I opened my eyes, I had part of the pillow in my head hanging. So when I got up, I pulled my head up, and my back and my neck hurted, and I didn't feel with great encouragement of saying, "Oh, good morning, Lord." And that's where many Christians fail; they walk out of their feelings. And I just smiled. The reason why I don't ask Him, Lord, good morning, how are you? Is because years ago, already practicing, listening to hear the voice of God, I asked Him, how did you wake up? And He said, I'm always awake. So remember that the word says, he who guards you does not sleep. And I said, well, you know what? You're right. I'm never going to ask you again to this day. He doesn't sleep. He's always right. Everything's always right with Him. From that day onwards, I started seeking God more. And now I'm not worried for anything or of anyone. Nothing saddens me. And many Christians think that I'm weird, but I think that they're the weird ones. And other Christians have told my wife, or would tell my wife, and have told me that I live in a bubble, which is that I live in a bubble, I'm living in a dream. And I said, well, don't wake me up, because I like that dream. And the only thing that I want is to do His perfect will. That I'm not interested in anything else. Glory to God. You're understanding now. Brother Hughes, it's very difficult to reach that level, no? On the contrary, it's very easy. In my mouth, the I can't do it doesn't exist. The only thing that I can't do, I cannot do what God told me not to do. From then on, I could do everything through Christ who strengthens me. There are millions of Christians in this country, in the United States. I was reading some statistics this week that are burnt out. They're frustrated. They're tired. They're discouraged. Because they don't have help at church, it's easier to just stay at home, watch the services on the internet, etc. And those statistics have been increased. I don't make fun of them. I don't criticize them. I understand what they're saying. But I stopped worrying because of that. If the Lord can't do anything, I can't either. If the Lord can't take care of His church, neither can I. You know what? When you say things like that, and I say it, you can apply it at home in your business with your children, and you stop worrying. And you tell this to the devil. Just as I told him years ago. So he stopped bothering me after that when I understood my identity in Christ. I told the devil, if God can't take care of His church, I can't either, and I don't care. If this church were to close up, I told the devil. So the devil stopped bothering me. I have many other things to do. And if this church were to close and we didn't have the means of continuing, well, I go and tell the Lord, Lord, what's the next assignment? With a smile. Because God has to do something with me, not with you. He would tell you to go to somewhere else. I don't know. And if you were to tell me, move from the city, I'd move. I'm not anchored onto something just because. I'm anchored onto my God. I'm anchored onto my Lord, my identity in Christ. I'm not worrying myself in pleasing my wife and my wife pleasing me. The reason why we have such a tremendous matrimony is because we've sought to please God and we understand who we are in Christ. Am I helping you? Amen. When you put the God in your relationship, in the middle of your relationship, your friendships, pastors who listen to me, there are pastors who have told me, and God bless them, but you can tell that it's not true. They've told me, oh yes, Brother Hughes, I'm only doing what God told me. But then they're worried how many came, how many watched them, and they're worried. They're going on social media seeing what this other preacher said, this and the other, and this and that. And you can tell that it's not true. They don't have peace. They don't sleep. I don't know about you, but I sleep very comfortably. When I sleep, I sleep. My wife once told me that you were snoring a little bit. Did you not hear yourself? I said, no, I was sleeping. Amen. If you understand who you are and how much God loves you, then you'll be able to speak things and say and start speaking the word of God. John 6, verse 4. First John. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. You know how you're going to have a strong faith? Understanding who you are in Christ. Now you're going to say, I am temple of the Holy Spirit. And the devil is going to come to condemn you. He's going to come and criticize you and say, yes, but yesterday or the day before, you were in certain places where you weren't supposed to be. And when the devil comes and tells you that, you say, it wasn't me. Perhaps it was my stupid flesh, but I repented. Oh yeah, my wife told me not to say stupid. Good synonym. Dumb? What? Oh, you're just like Nubia, Rene. You're just like her. I was thinking in another word, perhaps even worse. Let's say dumb flesh. Just close all doors to the devil and that's it. It wasn't me. When you feel that you got mad because of a stupidity right there, you repent. All right, sorry. Out of something dumb. Right there you say, oh, I repent, Lord. It wasn't me. Because you're not that flesh. That flesh that got mad and said all the that nonsense and got worried because of this and the other. You're not that flesh. You're in Christ. As you know, I'm praying for our governments. Praying for the government of Mexico. Praying for the government of the United States. And there are times... Oh my God. I just see what Mr. Trump says. And I just say, oh my God, why does he do this? But I've learned not to speak and not to say and put things on social media that he does. I can learn from him how tenacious he is. Yeah. Very tenacious in what he believes and what he does. Glory to God. But please don't put those things on social media. Don't put those AI images. You're not the Pope. I told Nubia, oh, sometimes when I see these things, I want to stop praying. You don't do that. Don't do that. Amen. Don't do that. Oh, my Lord. Speak grace out of your mouth. You know how that faith is. Verse 1. This is how you're going to have a strong faith in Christ. Whoever believes that Christ is that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. You know why I've had the opportunity to travel through this country, having white friends, white ministers. You know, many of my mentors in the faith are white, and then some black. You know why all of them love me? You know why? Because I've never demanded anything of them to respect me because, oh, I'm a Hispanic. And you'll have to respect me. No. I've walked in my identity with Christ. And I've gained their respect. I don't demand anything from anyone. It's the world that demands. You and I merely give an example. Amen. The church that Nubia and I assisted before meeting Arnoldo Gutierrez there in the Phoenix area. Years ago, there were services in the morning and in the afternoon. Service in the afternoon was finished around 7:30. It started at 5. After that, I told Nubia. By this time, I had told Nubia we were already boyfriend-girlfriend. He still lived with her parents. We weren't married yet. So I said, ask your parents permission that they can let you go after the service. You can go to the youth group. We were gonna go somewhere to eat. They're on Gilbert, Arizona, on Gilbert Road. And Nubia told me, no, No, I'd rather not go. Why? Because the majority of them don't even pay attention to me. They don't even greet. Remember what I told you, love? I told her, you get close to them. You greet them. You speak with them. It's because I sit there and no one, they keep talking of their subjects and no one pays attention to me. And I told her, don't think that way. You win them over. You mature. Daughter of God is thinks differently. Those are thoughts of the world. They listen to me. We went, we sat down together, we were talking. She felt like a coward. Who was the issue? Her. The carnal Christian or someone of the world would say, oh yeah, but they also, they should get close to her and they have to greet her. Where's the love of Christ? Exactly. Exactly. Just as the Bible speaks on praying in tongues, do all Christians pray in tongues? The Bible speaks of giving. Do all give? No. So then I cannot expect them to do something. It's I have to do something. What is my attitude? Based on who I am in Christ. The world will always promote someone else's responsibility. Someone else's at fault. It's their fault. We don't want to take responsibility. Hallelujah. Romans. Yeah, it's true, as I said. People sometimes act wrongly, but I can't expect them. I can't change them. Think about it. If God can't change them, why do you think you can change them? But what if you change? What did I tell you, Romans? This is your identity. Identify with Christ. You are identified with Christ. Oh man, are you ready? I'm going to say something very heavy for those with a religious ear. But you're not religious. This is for someone who's listening when this teaching is being sent through television or radio. You have it with you? Chapter 8. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba Father, the spirit of fear. Did you know there are millions of Christians that will not get on an airplane because they're scared of traveling on an airplane? They'd rather drive miles and miles and miles. And sometimes it's good to drive. But sometimes it's... I've been in Washington and Washington, D.C. And I've been in the state of Virginia. I've been on the East Coast. And I'm going to arrive in a car, but it's going to take me much more time. But they're not going to get on. And they're going to tell you it's because I don't like to travel on an airplane. And if they're honest and you dig a bit deeper, really, you don't like it. Why don't you like it? Then we'll tell you it's because I'm scared. When I was a kid, I don't like the sea. It's not that I don't. I'm scared of it. I just do not like being in the sea or being in the beach. I don't like having to get sunburnt all the time. But I've gone to the sea, and something happened to me when I was a kid. They took me to the Kino Bay. And they put me in a life vest. I was a kid. Literally did not know how to swim. I know now, but back then I didn't. And for some reason, the water of the sea was moving too much and it fell in my eyes and it burns a lot because of the salt. And when I did this, touching my eyes, the life vest was much bigger than me. And I sank. And it water in my eyes and my ears, my throat. It was a bad experience. But the years passed and I never realized. I came to the Lord, etc. Many years had passed. One day I was showering and the shower, the water was hitting my face and I suddenly felt fear. I felt like I was drowning. There's something there. But I hadn't remembered of that experience. And I couldn't relate it, perhaps, if I didn't know, I could relate it to it. But thanks to the presence of God in our lives, that Father helped me with it. Started speaking in other tongues. So wait, where does this come from? Because you can say, I rebuke the spirit of fear, but I wanted you to know where it came from, and the Spirit of God reminded me. And right there, I took authority, and I said, nope. By that time, I had understood who I was in Christ. I said, no. In the name of Jesus, I cast this out. I don't receive it. I am a child of God. I am in Christ. You know what? The fear went away. Now water can fall on my face. Now, of course, I'm not a fish. I don't breathe in the water. But I'm saying I don't have fear of it. If you start thinking, oh, it's because I can't do this or this and the other, you're speaking disgrace.
The Word of God says in Romans 10, 9 through 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For in the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you have not received Jesus Christ, you have not been born again. Therefore, you have to take the next step. I am not speaking about a religion or changing your religion. I am speaking about you receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. I invite you to make this confession with me. God, in heaven above, I come before you to receive the gift of life, to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe he is alive and he reigns. Jesus, I give you my life and I invite you into my heart. From now on, God, I can call you Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for receiving me as your child. Now, if you have said this prayer, you have been born again. Welcome to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to God's family. And remember, with all thy getting, get understanding. The word says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
Hi, I'm Kayla, daughter of Pastors Ignacio and Novia Hughes from Word of Faith Ministries. And I want to highly recommend my spiritual grandfather, Kenneth Copeland's book, The Joy and Power of the Tithing Covenant. I have read it myself, and I can assure you, it explains in detail how the tithe is prevalent under grace. I encourage you to obtain a copy and see how it will change your mindset and free you from any doubt that you may have concerning the subject of the tithe. Please visit kcm.org to order it.
We want to know about you and what God has done in your life. Please visit our website, mpfccc.org, and click on the testimony section and share with us the wonders of the Lord.
Do you have any questions regarding this teaching? Visit our website at mpfccc.org and click on the question section to submit your question for Pastor Ignacio Hughes.
For you have not received, cannot receive that spirit of bondage. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. What you're going to suffer is persecution. Again, when Nuvi and I got married, there in Mesa, in the Phoenix area, I told her, help me to drive. One day she told me, no. But how? Why? Because I'm scared of driving on the freeway. She already had a license to drive. I told you, how did you say you can drive here in the streets, the city? You see how the devil deceives you? How the devil can deceive you? How can you drive in the city streets when you have a car here on the other, here in front? And you're much together than on the freeway where there's greater distance. Can you understand it now? I told her no. That's just as I had told her of the youth group there in a church. That doesn't go with you. Not with you. That's not your identity. You have to cast out that spirit of fear. You're going to help me to drive. And shaking, with lots of faith, lots of shaking, you move that seat. I got it in the passenger seat and I started guiding her. When you change lane, put your signal. Don't get too close. You can pass here. You know, now she drives better than I do. My God. But when you let that spirit of fear take you over, that spirit of self-esteem, of low self-esteem, that spirit of inferiority complex dominate your mind, dominate the mind of your wife, of your children, it becomes a stronghold. I never told you to do something just stupidly. But what's the motive? Fear? If there's fear, there's no faith. Can you see this here? Nate, in chapter 8, 31. We're reading the New Testament. Who you are in Christ. Your identity in Christ. When you can, take your ID out at home, your license, your passport, whatever you have, look and say, well, this is in my flesh. Brother Hughes, and how can you grab my ID in the spirit? Just as you got your license, your passport, whatever, look, your ID is here in the spirit. Amen. Glory to God. Do you understand now? 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Some brothers think that He will give us all things. He refers to illness. But no, the Lord will never put illnesses on you. This is all things that pertain to life and the goodness of God. He has given you of your faith. He's given you of your grace. Authority so you can use his name. He's given you of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Everything is yours. Everything is yours. All was given. Who is he who condemns? Is it Christ who died? Verse 33, the first part. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Well, you can respond no one if you don't accept that accusation. You know that the he who accuses is the devil. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? When people say, oh, and that pastor condemned me, or brother, sister, and so-and-so condemned me. No. More so, you received condemnation. Do you understand the context of it? Of what the Lord paid for you, the Lord Jesus. So, who is he who condemns? No one, unless you receive condemnation. It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So why worry? If you feed yourself and only feed your mind of who you are in Christ and stop feeding yourself of the nonsense that many Christians put on their social media, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Continues asking, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Well, unless you permit it again as condemnation. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more, hallelujah, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Which things? Well, verse 35 says, in tribulation, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Oh, it's a different series to what I dealt on Thursday evening. Remember those who came on Thursday? The little car that I brought? Can I borrow it? No. I was sharing with you that when you speak the word of God and the promises, in reality what you speak, you don't speak faith only. You don't release only faith. You release both grace and faith. When you speak the word of God, for example, for all these things we are more than conquerors, that's pure grace. Because grace was given when you and I did not deserve it. And they shared using this, I don't know what you would call it, this little figure and then this car. This is grace. Faith is the vehicle. When you say, I am more than a conqueror through him, loved me. And what you're doing, you're releasing both spiritual forces. Doesn't matter what you're going through. If you maintain yourself, you'll see that victory. People don't see the victory that Christ paid for because they speak grace and disgrace. The carnality, they speak frustration. It's easy to just criticize and slander and say this and tear someone apart from our government, from those in government to other ministers. But if you were to be going through something similar, what would you feel? For example, there's a minister here very well recognized in the United States who accused him of sexual abuse or something like that years ago. In this country, in the United States, you are innocent until proven guilty. In a court of law, until the law declares you guilty. Well, you don't start thinking in the wife of that minister and their children, and then he's a grandfather, and his grandchildren. Instead of taking the time, and I see the people are perverse. There are Christians, who they're Christians, they're everything, but they're children of God. They're born again, etc. If they die, they go to heaven. But they're so carnal, they're more dangerous than a rattlesnake. They have such hatred and such anger. In this moment that I'm speaking, there's another man, very famous. He has his ministry, his church in Texas of millions of people. He has been a person who has influenced millions of people. He preaches, he speaks. He speaks a whole hour and he's very encouraging. I don't follow him. He's not of my line, but I respect him. But again, another man accused him. This man, a man, accused this pastor of having a sexual relationship with him more than 40 years ago. And the man to this day, well, he's a very well-respected man in the United States, married, with children, grandchildren. So this pastor hired a lawyer and countersued him because from that issue, that man was lying. He was just lying and wants money. And that man that's demanding him, who is accusing him, has been a child predator for years and is the one that is accusing this pastor. But this pastor, it's affected his health. It's affected him being in that lawsuit. Although you can say that's not true. I've never been a homosexual. I've never had homosexual desires, neither before nor after coming to the Lord. Never. But it's been difficult for him. And the man just some Sundays ago said that he was going to leave the pastorship and installed his son-in-law and his daughter. And you should have seen the disgusting comments against that preacher. Am I defending him? Am I saying that he truly never did anything evil? No. But when I read these things and I see this, I'm not going to judge those people. I don't know, because I was never there. When they ask me, it's, if he did something wrong, well, what terrible testimony. It's perverse, everything is perverse, that's very wrong. For that reason, more, the world criticizes us. But since I don't know, I'm not going to speak any of that. I'm not going to put my opinion in there. And many Christians do that, and the life of those Christians, because they don't understand their identity, act as if they were children of the devil. And the world says, do not judge, that you are not judged. That judgment is returned back to them, to those Christians, which is why they live so miserably. You don't know. Here in Douglas, many churches have been burnt down. And people have told me, oh, the pastor burnt it down to charge the insurance. I said, I wasn't there. I can't assure anything. Do you know that? Did you look into it? Are you part of the investigation? No. Now, is it a practice that is used? Yes, but we cannot point and say, and assure and say, oh yeah, that's right. What's best to do in that situation? Yeah. Quieter, we look better. I don't know, I'm not going to give my opinion on that because I don't know. And the best thing I can do is just pray. Because I don't have the correct words to pray. If I don't have them, I'll pray in the Spirit. Father, thank you that I have the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me to pray in this situation. If something corresponds to me to have to pray for this, I start praying in other tongues. When I pray and pray and pray up until I have a peace or a sign of victory, then I stop praying. And from there, I don't touch on that issue. Can you imagine if all Christians lived that way? More than 50, 60, 70% of issues for Christians would go away because many of these issues are, it's just judgment that was returned back to them. Another is because of not hearing from God, not understanding who we are in Christ. And people put pressure on you to do something. And God isn't telling you to do anything. And there's pressure and issues come. I condemn you. Glory to God that God is merciful. Amen. And He can help you. But you can learn from those things so that your life is better. Someone say amen. And nowadays, unfortunately, with technology, with artificial intelligence, they can clone a phone of you. Picture of you, it looks like you're in a, if you're a man, if you're a woman with five men or backwards, or what are you going to say? Every single photo that you see on the internet, judge and assure it. Actually, we shouldn't even be watching those things. But if you start seeing who you are in Christ and declaring the word of God, and now you can say, I am more than a conqueror, regardless of how you feel, how you don't feel, regardless, you'll say, I am more than a conqueror. That is my identity in Christ. Even if you have issues like that and your family tells you, are you crazy? You're saying that you're more than a conqueror because of those issues? It's not my identity. Issues are not my identity. My identity is not in the flesh. My identity is no one on this planet Earth can change that. You want to hear something that bothers religion? Nor God Himself can change him. You know why? Because he was already paid for in Christ. If you start speaking and declaring and establishing this. Now, there's no fault in it. The devil will always send his messengers. And tell you, so-and-so said this about you. Sister so-and-so spoke terribly of you. Sometimes you can't avoid it. So how do you respond? Oh, really? Oh, really? Well, me too. Tell him this, that, and the other. Are going to respond with a smile. Wow. Well, I don't know why they're saying that. I'm not that. The devil is tormenting. Or the devil is tormenting. Glory to God. I'm going to pray for it. I'm going to pray for her. Thank you for informing me. brother nosy one. I mean, brother so-and-so. Thank you for informing me, but don't be informing anyone else, okay? No fault in that. Because those brothers are very have a high level of communication. They don't tell you out of gossip. It's just so you can know and pray. I do it as a joke, but then how are you going to respond? If you don't understand who you are in Christ, you won't even sleep because of what they said about you. But if you say, oh, I don't know everything, so too bad. Keep it at that. You start speaking the word of God. And you'll sleep like Brother Hughes. A baby. And you'll reach almost 50 years of age with no medicine. Hallelujah. Because you're conscious of who loves you, who you are in Christ. Amen. But Brother Hughes, why would they say that? Why would that other person say the other? Because they're carnal. But why do you value the words of someone else? Why don't you value God your Father? I've seen over the years being a believer that some people speak things that are wrong, but many of them later repent and they change. Because God deals with them. And they say, Father, I shouldn't have said that. Amen. There you are closing the door or putting a barrier because they told you something and you love yourself so much. You're of those who you look at yourself in the mirror and say, oh, how nice I am. Are you of those? You love yourself so much. You're so full of yourself. Instead of just being filled of the Word of God. You're so full of yourself. You wrap yourself up in yourself like a gift. It's just a tiny little thing where UPS doesn't even want to charge you. I'll take it free. It won't. Not much. You wrap yourself up in yourself and it's just a tiny little thing. Instead of praying and saying, yeah, it was wrong, that person said. But you know what? Forget about it. Because God deals with those people. Amen. And don't be so harsh to judge others because I'll give you some in another point. When you know that someone says something of you, you get angry quickly. And it's because it's because everyone in my family are like that. Really, just as carnal. Okay, cool. So what you do is this. When you see that someone wants to say things about you, and when you want to get offended, you remember. Blessed be God, how many times I didn't say nonsense like that of someone else. How many times I didn't say something that I shouldn't have. God was merciful. Oh, did I say stupid again? Again, okay. How many times have I not said it's something so idiotic as someone else? I should notice how Christians are. Oh, Trump said this and the other. And I'm not saying that what Mr. Trump says is right. But you don't say it. But think about it. Actually, you yourself, you go to the mirror when you get indignified about it. You go to the mirror, in front of your mirror, stand in front of the mirror, and clap at yourself. You clap. And tell yourself, I congratulate you. You're so perfect. You never made a mistake. You see how quickly? Glory to God. You know that God put a plan. There's a lot of discord and fighting, infighting Christians. And I'm going to close up with this. There's been a lot of ministers who misuse finances, and they say things and do things. They go from biblical prosperity to a materialistic prosperity. I give a series which I recommend to many pastors that have listened to it and have told me, called True Prosperity. It's on YouTube. And it started with a relationship with God. Unfortunately, there are many false apostles in this day preaching just prosperity for themselves. And unfortunately, when we try to speak of biblical prosperity and the way of God, they're going to criticize us and they're going to put us in the same bag. But there's nothing you and I can do but move forward. It's part of persecution. But God has a plan for every single one of us. And I believe it's good if we feed you in this church, that you help us to take this word through radio, through television, and see how many people are coming into the kingdom. I was given reports of all the countries that are watching us in Europe and in Asia. And the country that watches us the most, where the most people watch us, is in India, because it's millions of people. But we're touching in different countries through the middle of internet and television here. In television and radio, we continue here in Sonora. And many people here in little towns, either they don't have a good internet signal or they don't have a smartphone. Many times we think that the whole world has a smartphone. And I used to think that way, but I realized that not everyone. So there are people that for that simple reason, they can watch us every week on television and in radio. In some towns there up in the mountains, they don't have internet. They just have the radio. And that's where the majority of your money is going to. I know that they've told you, oh, there you go, going the money, giving your money to the pastor. Well, if they give me the money, how do we pay for everything? Just think about it. How do you pay for everything that we have to pay for? Amen. Don't pay attention to that. You just laugh about it. I've laughed about it. And on the other side, you can speak these things for years, and for years they're going to persecute. You know why? Because it's not the people, it's the devil through them. The Bible says we have no warfare between flesh and blood. Amen. Stand on your feet.
Did you receive something? This is your identity, your identity. Forgive and forward. Brother Hughes, but there's other people that are on the wrong way, ministers, people. Right, but see what they do so that you don't make those mistakes. Not because you think you're better than them, but give a good testimony. You live a long life, so you'll shorten some people. The Lord doesn't want us like that. He wants us at peace. Whatever He called us. Go home, eat. Sit on the couch. Have a coffee and ice cream. An old movie. Sometimes I watch the Pink Panther. Really? The Roadrunner and the Coyote. Man, the Coyote never goes wrong. But what pushes me is that he never gives up. He keeps going and going, and the rocks fall on him and dynamite explodes on him. But he can't catch the Roadrunner, but he doesn't give up. A few days back, and I said, what if I Christians were like that. Glory to the Lord. You have a good a Bugs Bunny movie. Relax. How you? Some people say here, wear some shorts. Not shorts, but shorts. Comfortable, relaxed. Thank you, Lord. Don't receive anyone in your home today. All of a sudden, you already have plans with someone, and you tell them, don't go. That's a joke, though. Lord, we love you. We give you thanks. We bless you. We glorify you. Thank you, Lord, because you are good. Here, come over here. Help me pray. Thank you, Lord, for your truth, your word. We lift up in prayer our leaders in the United States and Mexico. And wherever people hear us in their nationality and their country, Lord, we give you thanks. And in faith, we speak in faith, we act, we speak grace and wisdom. Thank you that you give wisdom to our presidents, Congress, senators, representatives, to our judges. We speak according to Proverbs 8, and we call that wisdom for the good of the country, for the good of our churches, the body of Christ in different nations, so that we can live quietly, not criticizing their mistakes, or we mock them or call them ill names. Or we're not going to curse them. But as your children, we're going to speak words full of grace and wisdom. Sometimes we're not in agreement. Sometimes we're really not in agreement with the decisions they make. But we do understand that there's many voices in governments. They make decisions based on people, on parties and other politics, many, many things, many people. And maybe other leaders do something that they don't want to, but there's pressure. We don't know it all, but we do know something. And for that reason, we give mercy. Because in the end, you, the children of God, we depend 100%. The Bible says that our citizenship is in heaven. And if a leader didn't hear you and would do something completely against your word, thank God that you always take care of us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Lord is going to guide you for the congregation, our families, our partners full of grace, healing, financial prosperity, that nothing is missing in their homes. We depend on the person of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. If two of us come in agreement, that will come to be by the Father who is in heaven. Hallelujah. Use your mouth, says the Lord. There's authority in your words. Bless your life, prophetize over your life, You have the authority. The victory has been given. Don't curse what you have, but bless it and present it to the kingdom. Bless your life. Bless your home. Bless everything that your hands touch. Change your image inside yourself. Change it through the word. Form an image of victory within you so that the exterior can change. The interior needs to be formed first. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. No arm forged against you will prosper. No plague will touch your dwelling. The Spirit of God, the same power that lifted Jesus from the dead, gives life to your body. See that life in you. See that life active within you. And with your words, keep it in motion. Always active, always producing, always for you. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and praise the Lord. Just give thanks to Him because He is good. He is ministering your heart right now. Don't harden and close up your heart and let the Spirit of God speak to you, minister, instruct you, correct you. Make changes in your way. Day by day, make adjustments in your walk. Adjust your way of thinking with the word. Adjust your way of walking, your way of speaking, and align it to the word. And if you have been negligent speaking the promises of the Lord, say, Lord, I want to change, but guard in my mouth. Make me remember all the good you have been with me. The Spirit of God will help you, but you spend time with the word. Occupy yourself by placing the word in your heart, of constantly renewing your mind with the word, because the Holy Spirit is active in us. Some of you, He has been pushing you. He has been pushing you and impulsing you. And you feel like it's something that you just can't be, like you have something stirring up. And it's not just about peace. It's the Spirit moving you, pushing you to look more for Him, to seek Him. It's not lack of peace. It's that the Holy Spirit wants you to seek more. It's that something is coming, an answer, a clarity that you've been looking for. Don't look it as something. It's a holy stirring up. Continue more with the Lord through the word. Thank you, Lord. He's pushing us towards things and what we see. From this, all this morning, I've been seeing it. What we see is subject to change. What you're seeing now is subject to change in your home, in your finances. Is about to change. It's about to change. It's subject to change, to a divine change. Put that image in your heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Say, thank you, Lord. I hear your voice. It's a promise that your children, we hear your voice. I hear your voice. I distinguish your voice in me. It's stronger than the voice in my mind. It's stronger than circumstances. I hear your voice. I'm guided. I'm guided by the Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. In everything, we can come to Him. We praise you, Lord. You are our strong tower, the one who counsels us, our refuge, our glory, and the one who lifts our head. We worship you, Lord, in the marvelous name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Ready for a victorious week, expecting of listening to the word of God. Ready, and expecting of seeking the Lord and practicing his presence every day, every day throughout the day, expecting, because he's speaking to your heart. He's giving you instructions. He's making changes in you. Hallelujah. We love you. The Lord is good. Your seed is multiplied. Everything that your hand touches prospers. Everything that the Spirit of God tells you prospers, because the anointing is in you. Why has that been giving you? He has given you the ability to produce riches. Raise your seed. If it's an envelope, if it's electronic, whatever you're giving, it's electronic. Thank you, Lord. Every seed produces according its seed. I speak every seed, and I speak blessing and life. Every seed that is being sown, I bless it. I speak a multiplication. The anointing of the Lord, the power of God to prosper, is active within that seed. Thank you, Lord. The pastor and I sent a special seed to one of our mentors a few days. We sent it by mail. But the moment that it left our hands, that seed was planted in the spiritual world, and we're believing for a harvest. Every time that we prepare our seed, that it's not just putting money in an envelope, it is not just pressing a button. Every time that you plant a seed in the kingdom, the anointing to prosper, the power to prosper that God has set in the kingdom is in motion in your life. You have to see it in your heart. I prosper. I go forward. I increase in my finances. Speak over your seed, because that seed has life and it has the potential to multiply, because it's being transferred from your possession to the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord. Say it with me. My seed produces 100-fold. I receive it by faith, in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's done.
Were you ministered and were you fed with the word of God? Then we give you the opportunity to sow online tonight, or in this day, or whenever you are listening to us. The word of God says in Galatians 6, verse 6 and 7, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. In those same verses, but in the New Living Translation, those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. So in this case, we are speaking of Word of Faith Ministries, which teaches you the word. Now, verse 7, New Living Translation, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So when a person is constantly fed with the word of God, they should respond. Why? Because it is good for you. This is good for you. This is good for you yourself, because when you sow the word out of thankfulness, then you will reap. And at the same time, you help us, or you help that person who is being fed, in this case, from Word of Faith Ministries to be taken farther. If Word of Faith Ministries does not feed you spiritually, then pray to the Lord to direct you or someone else and to another ministry to where you can be fed. But from where you are fed, the honorable is that you sow in that word. The Bible says that God gives to the sower. There is no such thing as, oh, I don't have or I can. That's true. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower and bread for food. So if you start believing by faith, the laws of faith are, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask seed to sow. I believe that I receive it and thank you for it. And from then on, every single day, thank you, Father, that you give me seed to sow. Miraculously, God will provide seed. We've lived it for those who believe in this. We've lived it time and time again. And we've experienced it time and time again. I agree with you in this day, in the moment of sowing. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for those who will participate in sowing and reaping. I call an abundant harvest, a hundredfold return. We believe we receive this in agreement in prayer. Thank you. Thank you that your word is true, and thank you that we see prosperity in the lives of your children, in those who will sow, in those who will give. In this moment, we thank you and we agree. And you know what? Nothing. You will lack nothing. And not only you will lack nothing, you will come out of debt. Not only will you come out of debt, you will prosper in the way of God. You will prosper according to the way of God. When that harvest comes now, be wise. Seek wisdom. Don't spend. Get out of debt. God wants you free of debt. And He wants you very prosperous to finance the gospel of the kingdom. God bless you greatly.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.